Welcome to the rivers of everlasting and eternal pleasures, bringing forth tidings from the throne of grace and the voice of the majesty on high. Experience the power of the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, shining forth from the face and presence of God. We are Love Seal Church. Stay blessed and be enriched through this message by God's servant.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We bless your name. Thank you for you are the most blessed forever. We thank you for you are true to your word. You are true to your word. We thank you for revealing yourself unto us. Oh, what a privilege to be part of this generation. What a privilege to be part of this local assembly, even a people gathered to seek your face and to know your name. Oh, blessed be your name, oh God. Father, we ask that you bless me with utterance. You will bless me with utterance. You will bless every one of us with your spirit to hear and hear well. You show us mercy. Your word will travel deep into our souls, and there will be a working of your spirit even on our inside. Thank you, our Father, for that power of resurrection, which is at work in us. We even get stronger in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. We started a new theme 2 weeks ago. This is the third week. And what is the theme? The heritages of faith. Understanding the discipline and dealings of the faith pattern of the Son. So that is actually the burden of this theme. You know, for us to what? Understand the discipline and the dealing of the faith pattern of the Son. And that's why for us to understand, we are considering certain people called heroes of faith. You know, we want to see what type of faith they exhibited, how they used those faith. Hallelujah. How they used that particular faith, you know, to come into something so that we can have a sense of what type of faith that really belongs to us. By God's grace, to you know, in today's lesson, this is lesson 3. This is the third lesson since we started, and the topic for today is the word of faith. You know, last week, we began to, you know, consider the component of faith, the content of the faith of Hebrews 11 heroes, and we saw, you know, what faith is, and also the difference between Mark 11 faith and Hebrews 11 faith. We also saw the faith component, you know, as it was expressed in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, saint, and also the need for faith in the life of a believer. We saw that faith is needed in the life of a believer. The reason why you are called a believer is because you have faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 to 4. It says, through faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. The word was not framed by Big Bang theory. It was what? Framed by the word of God. It says, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Hebrews 12:2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Habakkuk 2:4. He said, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The book of Romans chapter 10 verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith what? Cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this scripture alone is showing us how faith comes. So some of us, the reason why it's as if we don't have faith is because we've not given ourselves to the word of God. Because the vehicle that brings faith is the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By God's grace, we'll be considering the difference between the word of the present and the word of the world to come. To trace the origin of the perverted seed, that is the word. Because that seed came with word. It came what? True word in man. And also to review how faith is delivered to a soul by the word. So by God's grace, at the end of this teaching, we should know how faith is delivered to the body. No, but to the what? To the soul. Last week, we saw how that, you know, faith is of the heart. And the heart is a member of the soul. You know, in the soul, we have different members. We have different compartments. We have the will. We have the conscience. We have the heart. And we have the what? We have the mind. Faith comes by the word of God. And all through its pages, we saw God expressing two major kinds of words. Talking about the word of this present creation and the word of the promise of the word, creation to come. So we can see throughout the scripture that God displayed two type of words. Words that affirm this present creation and also word that talks about what? The world to come. 2 Peter chapter 3, 5 to 12, it says, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, because of the word of God. The word of God make these heavens to become of old." It says, "And the head standing out of the water." And what? In the water. It's not confusing that this earth, as beautiful as it is actually in water. "Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men, but beloved. Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should what? Come to repentance." So you see that the desire of God is that all should transcend into what? The new world. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, no matter how beautiful they are, they shall be what? Burnt up." It says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for?" So meaning this should be our attitude. "Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be?" He said, "Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the helmet shall melt with fervent." If you don't have an idea, you don't know how this present world is created. You don't have an idea of the arrangement. You are ignorant of Premier 4. How will you do well in secondary school? Or your primary school, where you are at the moment as a child, how will you do well in classes ahead of you? You know, it's very important that we understand how this present word was framed by the word of God. It says, "And God said," what did he say? Word. So God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament. And it was so." So we have waters above the firmament, and we have what? Waters below the firmament. So meaning there were waters. Then God created firmament, a divider. Then the firmament moved some waters upward, then some waters also downward. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven," that is under the firmament, "be gathered together unto one place. And let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. So it was not scientists that created the earth. We can see how God created the earth. So he gathered the waters into one place. Then he said dry land should what? Appear. So the earth you are living on is as a result of the word of God. God spoke it forth that let dry land appear. So that's why you see that you are not an higher animal. We have animals that live in the sea. You are not crocodile, alligator. You are not family members. You are a different species. Your creation is different from their creation. So when somebody is telling you that they are mommy waters, they are lower than you. You need to know. And God called the dry land earth. So you see that earth is what God has given to man. So don't be looking for planets that they are not of your concern. And the gathering together of the waters, called the what? Seas. And God saw that it was good. Genesis chapter 7, verse 10 to 12. So we saw how God did this work. Then Genesis 7, 10, talking about the flood. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, the same day where all the fountains of the great deep broke up and the windows, so you know there are waters above, the windows of heaven were open. So what they opened for 40 days and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So what came down was they just opened window of heaven. Imagine if window could bring water for 40 days. You cannot imagine when they open floodgate. You know, when you understand certain things, you should not believe in works of Satan. Some people, they call them rain something and all. When you are in a place and maybe somebody wants to disrupt something, you know, by calling forth rain and all, you have authority because you are of knowledge. It says, and rain was upon the earth for what? So it was window of heaven that God just opened. Imagine he had opened the gate. And that window alone that rained for 40 days did something now. It wiped off the whole this thing, except for Noah and all that were in the ark. That's why they call it Ark of Salvation. Thank God he had built it according to pattern that it was shown. Else that thing would have sunk also. Imagine, the flood was so high that mountains were under it. You can only imagine. You know, we also need to know how mighty God is. One thing I desire this morning is to steer us to have faith in God. When we know the mightiness of God, you should not have any fear. Amos 9:6. It says, it is he that builded his stories in the heaven. He's talking about God. And had founded his troves in the earth. He that called for the waters of the sea and poured them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. So when you need rain, you can talk to God. The mightiness of God should stir up faith in our heart. Proverbs 34. He said, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Proverbs. Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? God gathered the wind in his fist. This is just the present mightiness of God that we can see. He gathered the wind in his fist. Do you know wind? Go and ask some nations of the earth. What winds have done to them? You know, hurricane is a type of wind. Tornado is a type of wind. There are types of wind. So you can imagine all manner of winds. He gathered them in his fist. He said, who hath bound the waters in a garment? You don't get it. Just 1 yard. He put all the waters. All the waters that you can imagine, they're in a garment. You know, all those Chinese movies, when probably a warrior is going on a journey, there is a way they just tie their water bottle on their clothes. That's like the picture that came to that God. All this water, they are just in a garment. He tied it. Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? If thou canest tell. Hallelujah. We don't have any choice than just to trust in this God. God is too mighty. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God that has been established. Hebrews 2:5 also says, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the word to come, whereof we speak. So you see that all these things that we've read, that it does, we can see a lot of manifestation of such in the book of Revelation. You will hear that, and one angel put his leg on the sea, another one on the earth. They actually have spiritual connection. In fact, they are actually spiritual, you know, realities. But you hear that, you know, one angel is holding the four winds of the earth. You see one angel, you know, stirring up the waters. So meaning angels, to a good measure, God has committed a chunk of the what? Of the word of this present into their hands. Because what they are using to also work as regards this present is a word that they have. It's because of the type of word that they have. And that's why that scriptures in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 5 says, you know, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the word to come, whereof we speak. So the type of word of the gospel is not the word of the present. The word of the present has been given to angels. And that's why you see they can appear and disappear. If you try it, we need to question what spirit you are using. Except the Lord grant such. We saw that with Philip. But you can't say you will it, you just want to express. That's why the end of immortality is not to appear and disappear. That's too low. That's not the type of word God has committed into our hands. Don't compete with angels' ministration and manifestations of this present. Your own word is to come. And that's what Apostle Paul said, whereof we speak. And what type of word? They call it the word of the New Testament. The word of the New Testament is the word of the world to come. So we should not muddle up things. You know, the way some people judge spirituality is how much of this present world you can handle. But they are missing out on the word of the world to come. But how spirituality should be judged is how much of the word of the world to come you custode. It's a whereof we speak. When God, by his word, created this present world, he created the heavens and its host with the heavenly dimension of the world of this present creation and made the earth with the earthly dimension of this same world. Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Isaiah chapter 42 verse 5 also says, thus said the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth bread unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. So you see that Oduduwa was not the creator of the earth. So it was not Oduduwa that, you know, that brought some sand, then one chicken or one hen began to spread the earth. And we must teach the children this. So when auntie is saying her own in the class, they will just say, But their own source of information is what? The man God created to take dominion upon the earth was trained by earthly elements of the world for this present creation. There is a man God created, but it's not the same type of man that God wants to receive. Because the man God created was formed by the word of the present. But that man must come into the reality of the word of the world to come. That is why for people that their strength is this present, it's obvious that they will perish with this present. But what will make you to endure forever is the type of word you are hearing. That is why you can't joke with what you are hearing, because the faith that you used to live is dependent on the word that you are hearing. Because every word brings a type of faith. One minister, some evil spirit spoke to him so much that he told them, I think in UI Zoo, that he wants to talk to the lion. The end is the story. God provided for the lion. A sumptuous meal that you can never imagine. A lion in the cage. So you see, it was evil spirit that spoke to him over time. They pumped him up, thinking he can talk to the lion. Well, you are not Daniel. Daniel did not even stroll there. They actually forcefully and unrighteously took him there. So God had to send an angel just to keep them. You know, it was like they were playing tab, you know, the way they engage children. That was what they did to the lion. They were just engaging them. They were just seeing Daniel, you know, as another, you know, thing that they can play with. It's just an operation of an angel. I want us to have a sense whereby, you know, we know the difference between this present world and the reality of the world to come. Thank you, sir. So don't say that you hear what so much that you now want to enter, walk into the sea, the way Moses parted. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 47 says, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And that is why you see that to a good measure, man is limited in this present. Because man was formed out of the what? Dust of the ground. Say dust of the ground. You know, dust is lighter than sand. At times they call sand earth. So it is even dust of the ground. So it can expire. When you just blow, and that is why you see that we should be humbled and wait for the word of God to install in us that which is in the mind of God. Because what is in the mind of God is higher than this man that was created in Genesis 2:7. We need to know. And how will you know? Sin fell this man. Mommy painted our Lord Jesus. She said a man is seated on the throne. That is the type of man that is actually in the mind of God. And that's the type of man they want to raise. And it takes a word to raise that man. There is a word of the world to come that must raise that man. But there is a word that framed this present. So the scriptures clearly showed us that the man in the beginning was a man of faith. It was said that he was a living soul. It shows that he had a type of faith. And it takes faith to what? To live. Showing that man is a faith being. There is no way you can consider man is a faith being. Every man is living by a type of faith. Even when you say you don't believe in God, there is a kind of faith you are living by. It's a kind of effrontery and God. To say there is no God, it's a faith that Satan has given to you. And that faith sinks. Genesis chapter 5 verse 1 to 3, it says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God, made he male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. In the day that they were created, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Romans 1:17 also says that, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by. So when they say from faith to faith, is faith faith? Across board? No. So meaning faith differs. There was a type of faith that was made available to Adam in the garden. And also, you see, as we continue in the lesson, you see that Adam came into another type of faith after the fall. They are different. And you see that Hebrews 11 saints, they live by a type of faith. And that is why there's another faith that Jesus came to utter and finished. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. However, Adam in transgression partook of the seed of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil, you know, which is a fabrication of the corrupted heavenly element of the world, of this present creation, giving rise to the what? Dwelling of the two seeds within mankind. So the scripture says, and man was formed out of the dust of the ground, and God breathed forth into his nostrils the breath of life. That breath is not ategum. It's not oxygen, O2. No, his word. It's a word that brought him alive. It's not ategum. That breath is word. So when we are praying at times that the Lord will, you know, breathe upon our parents, you know, so that they can bring forth his mind and his word. It's not ategum. It's not anointing to fall down. You know, some ministers, until you fall, they don't believe miracle has happened. But a woman that has been carrying an issue for 12 years touched the garment of Jesus and she was completely healed. The woman did not fall. Or did they say that she, if probably she had fallen, it would have been obvious that she fell under the anointing. But it was Jesus that knew. If Jesus had not known that virtue had left him, who would have known that there was a woman that was healed? So you can imagine how many that were even healed that the scripture could not record. Because they say if they should talk about everything Jesus did, said the whole what books of the world cannot contain. So we'll see that that breath was a word. And that word brought a type of faith that Adam had in the garden. You know, it is faith to see lion that does not look like you and you are okay. To see elephant and everything was okay. You know, everything was okay in the garden was because of a faith that Adam had. As a result of the word, say he breathed forth into his nostrils the breath of life to live. Is a word that was given to him. And he used that faith. Everything was okay. Everything was intact. You know, we had water in the garden. When we read further, they were talking about piston. They were talking of, you know, if we pray. Those things, they were not troubled. There was a kind of calmness and ease in the garden as a result of a faith in a man. Immediately that man fell, we saw everything became upside down. Mosquito don't used to bite. The original makeup don't used to bite man. Man is not meant to be the food of mosquito. It was as a result of the fall. So the fall did a terrible work. that there was not a need for man to begin to assess another type of faith. In the garden, the faith that was given to Adam was not to trust God for physical things, for natural things. It was just faith to live and to hear God. But you see that the fall did something terrible to man, that the soul of man descended, that we can't connect. That's why some people, you know, to hear God becomes so difficult that they have to be writing, how to be led by the Spirit to us. We descended so much that we don't even know how to hear him. It's lack of faith. The fall did something terrible to us. That's why we should not joke with this lesson of faith. And studying these heroes of faith should do something to us, so that we can anticipate and have a sense of what the true faith that Jesus came to utter and finishes. The fall did something terrible. If you read the book of Ezekiel chapter 28, we saw, you know, who tempted man. That he was an heavenly being that fell. Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 15 to 17. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou art sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy height was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. It is good to note that the promise of the tree of life, that is eternal life in the garden, was to a living soul. Genesis chapter 2 verse 5 to 7. It says, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the what? The breath of life. And man became a living soul. Hallelujah. Say man became a living soul. It was as a result of a word. You know, Lazarus had died for 4 days. Scientifically, that man is gone. In fact, he has started to decay because he was smelling already. Hallelujah. So, meaning worms were already operational. Grave has already taken hold of him. But just one word. What was the word? Lazarus, come forth. Say, Lazarus, come forth. Just word. So you must know that you are an entity of word. We must know. That's why we should invest in hearing and hearing and hearing again. There is no way you can be better. I want to change. I want to do it, but you are not hearing messages. How will the faith to change come to you? It says, however, Adam fell short of the promise when he partook of the seed of the knowledge of good and evil and found a stronger expression above the living soul's faith, the seed that was in him. Let's read Genesis 2, 15 to 17. And God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil thou shalt not eat. For the day that thou eatest thereof, ye shall surely die. Did man die? Then we also saw in Titus chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, Apostle Paul said to Titus, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, hath promised before the world began. Our next subtopic is Adam's faith after the fall. So we've seen the type of faith Adam had. The corrupted seed Adam partook of opened him up to another reality. He came into another reality. And what was the reality? It's hallelujah. Adam came into what? Another reality. The fall fell him into another reality. So meaning the reality after the fall is actually lower than the reality before the fall. He fell into another reality, bestowed upon him a perverted definition and response of life. And one of the responses, we saw what he did. Said God intervened by strengthening the faith seed in Adam, ensuring the corrupted seed did not find full expression in his soul, even though his spirit was dead already. So we see that that breath of life was a type of word that brought faith to Adam to live by before the fall. But Satan came and gave man another word. And God really said, you know, it's another word. It's another breath. It's another breath. And that breath that made them to begin to see, he said, and Eve saw. They began to see that they were exposed to another reality. And that reality healed their spirit and began to walk in their soul. But you see the way God formed man. God breathed forth into his nostrils. God gave Adam a type of word, which was faith seed. And all those instructions that were given to Adam were actually plantings of faith. Because without those words, Adam would not even know what tree of life is. Adam would not even have a sense of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil, and it wouldn't have been seen unto him. So the commandment God gave to him was the instruction of faith. That when you live by it, you are safe. So the tempter came and tempted Adam and Eve, and man fell. But God was doing everything to ensure that that faith seed did not die. Because it becomes a struggle between two type of what? Seeds now. Because God has spoken to man. Satan too came and what? Spoke to man. And man received the seed of Satan. Therefore killed the spirit and started walking in his soul. Unto Adam and also to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. We saw how that they went to go and sow fig leaves. Their reality became their nakedness. You know, fig leaves is actually a type of faith that a fallen man expresses. Is a faith of believing in your ability. Is believing in what you can do. In believing in yourself. You believe in yourself. And that's why God had to come to their rescue and show them something better. Just after partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we saw that the manifestation of the voice of the Lord walking in the garden, bringing the word of reproof, correction, and exalting the righteousness of God to keep the soul from further decay. Thank God, God did not leave them. You know, there is a way, some people have read the scriptures, Genesis chapter 3 in particular, and they say, and God caused. Olorun se pe. No, God did not cause man, so to say. What he caused was the sin in man. Really, that cause means limitation. So what God did in Genesis chapter 3 was to put limitation around sin so that man will not enter into a zone whereby you cannot recover him. So what God caused in man was sin. He put limitation on another life that man has now been exposed to. God did not shape it for man. Hallelujah. You know, some people have that bitterness that why didn't God just, you know, it's not dialogue. Sin does not dialogue with you. It must be cursed. It must be limited. And God had to bring forth his word of reproof. Hallelujah. That's why when you hate rebuke, you hate correction, it's not a good thing. And that's why the scripture says that all scriptures, it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for what? Reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's why any church you go to, that all they do is just to shout and shout and shout, and no word comes to you to reprove you. No word comes to you to correct you. Does that mean that everything you are doing is good? When the whole Apostle Paul said that when I want to do good, I see that evil is present with me. The good I want to do, I find myself not doing it. But the evil I don't want to do. So when pastor is talking hard, he's going to your zone. You just pack your bag and go. And say that they take time in this talk. We are not taking time. What you don't like is reproof. What you don't like is correction. We attended a birthday ceremony yesterday. And, you know, the son said the mom can talk. You know, maybe has beaten him a few times. But the mom will talk. You know, whereby he's even more than the beating. You know, there are some thoughts that just come and beat me. Let me go. Have you heard what? That your leg is shaking. If you're unfortunate, you are not close to a wall. In other times, you just have to lean on the wall. You know, there are some talking that you will be sweating. Nobody is beating you. You're on one spot while you are sweating. You can't wait. And for a child to stand and stay in one place, you know, is warfare. So we must love rebook. The reason why, you know, we are also benefiting from what God is doing in our parents, because at one point or the other, they also heard rebook of men that raised them. So church setting, be prepared. You know, say, I don't like the way he talked to me. You are talking about an elder. You know, one of the strengths of Gen Z spirit is that don't talk to me anyhow. At times, you need to be spoken to. If they don't talk to you anyhow, at times, you will grow anyhow. And you will not benefit even the community. You become a problem, no matter the money in your account. Said, as time and what? Tending are needed for seed to germinate into trees. So also, this seed in Adam needed to be tended for full what? Expression. So the warfare over man is to see which seed man nurtures. So the contention, the warfare, is that which seed are you giving priority over your life? Romans 6:16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servant to obey, is servant ye ha, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. We even see that when you move further, there's iniquity unto iniquity. So iniquity are not even on the same level. They differ in ranking. And we see that the end of obedience is not also righteousness. He said righteousness unto holiness. Holiness unto everlasting life. The end, eternal life. So what are you giving yourself, servants, to obey? What seed are you nurturing? That's why Scripture says in the book of Romans 8:6 that to be carnally minded is what? Is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Everything on your brain is about this present. It's not a good thing. You know the latest gist. Growing up, there are some guys, they know, they are in Nigeria, but they know the names of all players in Division 2 in England. They know the names of their substitutes. I don't know how they did it. But when you bring them to church, they are dull. They can't wait for service to finish. Some of us, we know the new gadgets and all the features, the iOS, the latest, the Disney. But concerning the things of God, it's too boring for us. You are carnally minded. You need to upgrade. And when they are talking about angels, the world to come, bread, wine, they are talking about those things. That is your true world. Not Gucci and Versace. What do you want to use that one for? Just wear something nice. By God's help, Adam was able to keep the seed of faith, which made him live before the presence of God, and also pass this faith heritage to his generations. Though together with the perverted seed, he didn't just pass the good seed. He also what? The scripture says that by one man, sin passed upon all men. Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon what? All men. For that all have sinned. Then Romans 3:23 now continue that all have sinned and are falling short of the what? Glory of God. Hallelujah. So, we'll see that Adam passed both the good and the evil seed unto man. Let's consider God's word, Abel's faith, and Cain's departure. So, the faith seed in Adam, which God strengthened, was what God used in limiting the flow of sin and death from man's spirit into man's soul. By this seed, Abel was able to keep the perverted seed docile and give an acceptable offering to God. The voice of the presence cultured the faith seed in Abel and bore gift, fruit of the seed. But we saw Cain, who kicked against the word provision of the presence of God, giving sin and death an occasion to thrive. Bore what? Fruit of the wicked seed. So we see that what nurtures faith seed is the presence of God. And this presence of God is not God is sitting. Then you are here. Say, I'm in his presence. What is known as presence of God, please hear this, is the word of God. How do we know? Jesus said, he said, no man hath seen God at what? So when we say his presence, he's talking about a word available. that where that word is, God is. And that word, that presence of God, nurtured the faith seed. But we saw Cain. Cain departed. When they say Cain departed from the word, presence of the living God. He departed from the word that ought to grow the seed faith and make the word evil seed docile. So he went with the presence of Satan, because it was Satan that led him. Another word. And he began to build himself cities. Say cities. Sin was creating imaginations. Sin wanted to express. And we saw how he began to what? Build cities. It takes a lot of faith and a good faith to just sit here and grow in your career in God. Because God is our what? Our vocation. Eternal life is our what? Profession. We've not seen eternal life as our profession. You know, there's a way we celebrate minds that are brightened on this side of the world, that they can build cities. Say that man is a technocrat. He's a captain of an industry. Hallelujah. That man may not be allowing the seed of faith to grow. Do you understand now? So don't compare yourself with some people that are just doing well in the natural. Hallelujah. It takes a lot of faith to be seated, to be in this presence. The voice of the presence of God we saw cultured the faith seed in Abel. But Cain what? Departed. And the book of 1 John 3:12 says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. So what differentiated them was what they obeyed. There was an obedience that leads to righteousness. Then there is one that leads to what? Perdition. And that's why they call Cain that wicked one. It belongs to that wicked one. Where we not belong to the wicked one in Jesus' name. That's why we should not joke with the presence of God. We should not joke with the word of God. So what God rejected was the seed that was in Cain. That evil seed that Cain was paying more attention to. That it was growing. Because he offered out of that evil seed. And what was acceptable about Abel was not that Abel was more fairer than Cain. No. What God accepted was the faith seed that made Abel to be righteous. They call him the righteous Abel. With Cain kicking against God's provision, he nurtured the perverted seed till it grew, and he outrightly departed from the presence of God, making a way for prosperity of the corrupted seed, which he turned passed down to his generation. So when you read that the sons of God, you know, took themselves daughters of men to marry, those daughters of men, they were talking about the lineage of Cain. And those sons of God, they are not angels. They're talking about lineage of Seth. Jude 1:10 says, but they speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. So let us consider the fruit of Abel's faith. Abel prospered with faith, and he bore fruit with his faith, and he embraced the faith God nurtured in his father, and this made his soul live. The faith dealing of Abel continually guaranteed a constant supply of life to his soul. Putting sin and death away, he learned how to offer to God by laying down his life and putting his trust and sufficiency in God. That is what that faith seed can do to you. To put your sufficiency and your trust in God. Because one thing that evil seed does is to make you to be hasty. Ability not to wait on God is hastiness. So each time you are hasty, you want everything sharp, sharp. Lord, I'm 21. I need to marry now. What you are prospering is the evil seed. And don't say me, I'm in Christ Jesus now. All things have passed away. Hello, you still have that evil seed in your soul. That evil seed wants to find the expression to kill every faith seed in you. That's why waiting on the Lord is a sign that you trust and your sufficiency is of God. And what you are doing in return is that you are prospering the faith seed. For you to remain in his presence. For you to keep hearing his word so that you can live. So hastiness will make you die. Because what you are prospering is the seed of sin and death. And that's why Cain had to hurry up out of the presence of God. He hurried to go and establish what city, because sin was creating images, pictures, was setting a mindset. That's why when God accosted him, hello, where's your brother? He said, am I my brother's keeper? So when you see some people on social media talking anyhow to authorities, they have prospered the evil seed. It's a sign that the evil seed is gaining ground in your soul. You can talk anyhow to anybody. You hear, I don't care. What is not caring? Even the evil seed is not caring about you. He wants to destroy you. Say, brute beast, they speak evil of authority. He said, well, God put this faith seed on Adam when he was created. Can you see when he was created? Abel had to learn and nurture the seed till he was accounted righteous. He was the first person who totally, without reservation, walked in the light of what? Of the Adamic faith, living so faith to the point of laying down his life and his all. The faith of heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 is patterned after Abel's obedience. The faith seed is commonly referred to as Abel's testament or Abel's blood. Blood is not that red pigment. It's what? Life. So Hebrews 11 faith is patterned after the righteous Abel. They call it Abel testament. That is, we saw a man that gave expression. Do you know why they didn't call it Adamic testament? Why it is called Abel? Because Adam was not born of a woman. But Abel was given birth to by a woman. So after this pattern, that's why Jesus also had to be born of a woman. Because in heaven and on earth, God must be just. So that's why they don't call it Adamic. So don't think maybe Abel was better than Adam. No. But because Adam was not given birth to by a woman, so they started counting from Abel. That's why if you read Hebrews 11, they didn't put Adam there. Don't think Adam is in hell. They didn't mention Adam because a woman did not give birth to him. That's why they had to say that out of every man born of woman, none is greater than what? John the Baptist. Amen. So that's why it is called Abel's testament, Abel's blood. And we saw in the book of Hebrews 12, 24, says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Hallelujah. The coming of faith. To move faith to a believer's heart. Hearing the word is employed. Hearing and hearing must be engaged to substantiate the word within the soul. A believer is said to have faith when secondary hearing is engaged. So meaning, secondary hearing must be what? Engaged. Romans 10, 17. Romans 10, 17 says, and so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there is primary hearing and there is secondary hearing. And this part of our manner is telling us that hearing and hearing must be engaged to substantiate what? Faith within the soul. A believer is said to have faith when secondary hearing is engaged. Hebrews 4, 2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that what heard it. So the word was spoken to them. That was first hearing. Then the second hearing was faith mixed with the word. It's the same as saying that you allow the word to grow faith in you. Let me give us a practical example. You have a headache. It's a symptom, right? Then the scripture says that by stripes you were healed. And you engage the word, by his stripes, I was healed. You are engaging that faith. That's why some people, they encourage for confession. Confession majorly is for the mind. Is to beat the mind to that which is being spoken. The symptoms is still there. But suddenly, as you begin to engage that faith provision of God's word, even though the symptom is there, you just believe that it's not there. But scientifically, it's still there. But you believe, you came into that oppression of that faith that by stripes you were healed, and you believe and you stay in thanksgiving and you go about. At times, you also need to wait to receive instruction of that faith. At times, the instruction that faith will bring to you is go and sleep, not paracetamol. and you sleep, you will wake up, no more headache. It's by faith. That sleep is an instruction. At times, the instruction can be take more water. At times, it's run away from all these carbonated drinks you've been drinking. So there is instruction of faith. It says when a believer hears the word, the Holy Spirit engages such believer in another hearing, bringing instruction for the substantiating of faith within the soul. The Spirit was given to bring the secondary hearing to a believer. The Spirit is given for purpose of secondary hearing to a believer. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20 to 21 says, "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thy eyes shall see thy teachers, and thy ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left." You know, Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Meaning that there's no way faith will prosper without Spirit. It says when a believer hears the word, the Holy Spirit engages such believer in another hearing. So now the word of God has come to you. You've heard the word as you are seated. But to make that word prosper in your soul, for you to be able to engage the faith that that word brings, there is a need for second hearing. And the second hearing is done by the Holy Ghost. He will now bring instruction of the faith. Because that faith must be substantiated. Because faith is a substance. To substantiate faith is to give shape to that faith. To give form to that faith. To make that faith your reality. By faith, we saw that the word was framed by the word of God. But you can see the reality of that word. But there is a dimension of that word that can be in hope. If we say the word to come now is in hope. But you know there is a reality of it that is dawning on us by the Holy Ghost. Making that word a reality. So that is why the faith that Jesus came to utter and finish. When you hear the word, Holy Ghost. So the reason why we are giving the Holy Ghost is not to fall our fellow human beings down under anointing. It's not to be commanding Holy Ghost up and down. Holy Ghost, move. One of the major essence of the giving of the Holy Ghost is to substantiate faith in the soul of a believer. Because faith must be substantiated. Because faith is a substance. They said faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So things have come to you by the word. But how do you substantiate it? How do you make it your reality? It's by the Holy Ghost. He brings instruction of that faith. That's why the scripture says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness." You being sitting here is not just the meekness they are talking about here. He said, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Because to substantiate that faith, you need the working of the Holy Ghost. That's why, imagine, a whole day you didn't hear the voice of the Holy Ghost. What kind of a believer are you? Mommy encourages us to speak in tongues a lot. The reason why it has seen what they are saying is passing you by is because you've not trusted yourself into the Spirit. You are not engaging yourself in spiritual activities. You are dull. You cannot even hear the voice of your spirit. You know, our spirit has a voice. It's actually the still small voice. The voice of the Holy Ghost is that authoritative voice. It's called the authoritative voice of the Holy Ghost. You need to engage more. At times when you pray in tongues, it helps the soul to be awoken into spiritual realities.
Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. So you see that essence of the leading of the Spirit is to make us sons. You know, we are privileged in this generation. Hebrews 11:8, Holy Ghost was with them. The Hebrews 11 saints, Holy Ghost was with them, but not in them. And that's why the best they could come into was good report. That is God being their God. We saw it in Hebrews. They said, for by it, the elders obtained a good report. The scriptures said, for they have this testimony that God became their God. In fact, God told them, because of that which you've done, I will be your God. But that was where he stopped. But the faith, Jesus came to utter and finish. There's provision of the Holy Ghost to be in us. And the essence of the Holy Ghost in us is to make us sons of God. So we are privileged that we can have Holy Ghost on our inside. Is to make us not just God being our God, but for us to be sons of God. And that is the difference. Good report. God is their God. They did things. Because Holy Ghost was with them. But this faith that Jesus came to utter, the part of the package is that Holy Ghost be in you. He said, whereby we cry, Abba Father. It's because Holy Ghost is on our inside. That is why God can be our God. So to those that have good report, I go to your God. But for those that are living by the faith of the Son, the faith that Jesus came to utter and finish, that is why they have become cloud of witnesses, cheering us, encouraging us, that you can do better. You can do better. We want to see how God will become the Father of man. So the faith Jesus came to utter and finish is to make us sons and daughters of God. That's a great privilege. That's faith that Jesus came to utter and finish. The trial of the substance of faith within the soul delivers the promise to the soul and grants access to dominion of life in the kingdom of God, indicating that the hearing of faith is the receiving of instructions to assess life as shown by the heroes of faith. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 6:12 says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. It's not that I've heard the word, you just go and sit down. There is what to be done. It's like me, I will show you my faith by my works. It's like saying, I will show you my faith by my patience. So patience is work. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church, he was commending them. He said, your work of faith, your patience in hope, and your labor of love. So when that word comes, when that first hearing comes, the second hearing is to say it is time to start working. So the first hearing will show you the field to cultivate. Second hearing will bring you into the field and show you, oh yeah, start working. When you work it, that is when you can have the reward or the wages of that faith. So don't just hear 20 messages and you are not doing anything. What you are doing is that for every message they are bringing you to field, you are seeing many few to do. But if there is no secondary hearing, you don't know the tools to pick to cultivate. You don't know what to do to cultivate. So you are not in patience. And to take faith and patience. Patience is what? In bracket, the works of faith. So there's something to do about faith that has come to you. And that is where secondary hearing is to give you instructions of that faith. You know, giving is one of the instructions of faith. Laying down your life for others is instruction of faith. Long-suffering is instruction of faith. All those fruit of the Spirit are instructions of faith. Enduring that your sister, that cantankerous person, is part of the works of faith. You are in patience because you are waiting for a reward. The Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Pastor, praise.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. One thing that we can clearly see from this lesson is that when we talk about the word of faith, amen, the word of faith is not just a statement. It's not just, let's say, maybe the way I'm speaking now. When you're talking about the word of faith, you are talking about a curriculum of life. Talk about the word of faith. You are talking about a curriculum of life that when you begin to engage, amen? When you begin to engage, it will eventually show in the process of time. Let's just take a little look at the difference between Abel's faith and Cain's departure again. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Verse 3 said, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, the sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. The Lord went ahead to place a curse upon him. When we were reviewing with mommy, mommy said, Abel was not the first thing that Cain had slain. When you saw that Cain rose up to slay Abel, Abel was not the first thing that Cain had slain. Because when you look at it, it said, in the process of time. One thing about time is that time is meant to submit to a process. The essence of time, the reason why we have time is so that we can submit to a particular process. And you know, being in the presence of God is not enough. There's also a process in the presence of God. And we can see that Abel engaged this process. But Cain was not engaging this process. Cain was kicking against this process. When you even look at the way Cain was responding to God, am I my brother's keeper? He was answering God roughly. That shows that the way he would have been answering his parents. He did not start with answering God like that. He started somewhere. Only God knows what Adam and Eve went through in his hands. He said, in the process of time. Meaning that, you know, when you talk about faith, faith matures in the process of time. The way we are all seated here and we are all under this same atmosphere, there's a process even in the time. When you want to arrive at an answer in mathematics, some of us, because we don't know it, we're not paying attention, we just want to copy the answer. Kilo, give us the answer. Just give us the answer. And we write the answer. And let's say the whole question, the steps are like, let's say 8 steps before you get to the final answer. The final answer is just half mark. But the process is, when you put brackets into this one, there's half plus X, Y, and all the addition, maybe that's 10 marks. And then you eventually wrote the answer. You have half over 10. So when they're talking about process of time, meaning that there is something that led to this offering unto God. Before God will say, I reject somebody, it's not just because that person did one thing. There is something that is leading up to that very place. There are instructions that you have slain in the corridor of your room. There are things that God has said you should do. Mommy said she perceives that Cain was offended in God. It's very possible, you know. One thing that was not alien to them was the word that kept coming. I believe Adam labored in the place of the word. Adam kept feeding both Cain and Abel. That process of time was a place whereby he kept ministering the word unto them. You know, that presence is not just like something hovering over you. It's an atmosphere that was cultivated by the word. Let's just take a look at Job chapter 22, verse 21. He said, Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. He said, Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth and lay up his words in thine heart. He said, If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt do what? Put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. The reason for the word is to put sin, iniquity, far from your tabernacle, which was a process that Abel was engaging in. But for sin to have journeyed to Cain's door, sin had gained mileage. Sin has broken through many things and has arrived at Cain's door. When Jesus was saying, "I stand at the door and I knock," those people are not new believers. They had gone through many processes. Before Jesus can say, "I stand at the door," that's their heart. That's their core. So for sin to be at this place shows the engagement that Cain has had with sin. This just shows that if we don't engage the word, we are engaging something else. And sin is approaching the door. One thing I just saw there was, that rejection of Cain's person and his offering was a kind of mercy. It was mercy. Because from what God said, Casey had opportunity to still do well. But the funny thing about it is that if we allow sin to get to that point, because this place, Job says that, "Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth." Said, "Lay up his words in thine heart." So if you are not laying the word in your heart, you are laying something else. So when you see Cain leave the presence of God, and he already knew what to do, that journey with sin was not that same day. He departed and he built a city and named that city the name of his firstborn, Enoch. Meaning that was really his firstborn. Say, "Lay up his words in thine heart." Receive first. The place of receiving the word is important. But beyond receiving the word, you must begin to lay up these words in your heart. It is intentional. It is deliberate. That is how you build yourself up in faith. That's how you begin to lay up these words in your heart. So when God says that I have rejected Cain first and his offering, it's not because maybe Abel brought animals and Cain brought fruit. No, no, no. There has been something that has been happening in the process of time. So you see, the words we are hearing are supposed to bring us to that place whereby we can offer unto God in righteousness. But what we determine God receiving our person and our offering is what we are doing with the words that we are hearing. And from Cain's response, we saw that the commandment of keeping his brother, he had already thrown that one aside. That was the first thing he slew. "Am I my brother's keeper?" We should be our brother's keeper. That's the first commandment. We should be our brother's keeper. He said, "Let nothing be done in strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Say, look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on what? The things of others." These are instructions of faith. And for us to get here, we must lay the word in our heart. You cannot just wake up and decide to do this. This is dying. This is a lot. And it is as we keep on laying these words in our hearts that we are going to arrive at this place. I wrote here, I said, talking about the limitation that God put around sin. Meaning that sin is not supposed to prosper unto that point of getting to your heart. That place of lying at the door of your heart. It just takes one reaction from God. Sometimes when God is quiet about some things, it's because he knows that if I react, the reaction is supposed to be mercy. But the way you will take it, look at Judas. The time he went to start talking to the Pharisee was when Jesus gave that response, that the poor you always have with you. After that woman broke the alabaster box. And Jesus gave that response, that the poor you always have with you. After that time, he got angry. I believe that this acceptance of Abel and rejection was not private. What made Cain to be angry was that everybody eventually saw what Cain was. A time will come that even in this journey, people will know where you are. What made him angry was not the fact that God rejected him, at least rejected him in the secret. But this kind of thing, it will be glaring to everybody that this is who you are. You have not been transacting with the word of life. And that thing made him very angry. Imagine, I just gave it to my mind that, sometimes daddy will rebuke some of us in the public, in the open. And your response will show where you are. How can I do it better? What have I done wrong? Okay, what is that this thing that I'm not seeing? That kind of thing. And you can be very angry. The anger is not because they corrected you. But the anger is that, at least, upon say I did this thing, at least. Even cover me small now. I've been doing good all this while. See, you get just pamper me small. Take me out from where everybody is. Don't even rebuke me in front of everybody. But those things are necessary. They will even show you where you are. Sometimes you don't want to be angry, but you just see that that anger begins to rise. You will know that something is there. When they rebuke you, and you just see that thing rising. This is sin of iniquity. You don't want to be angry, but you want to sleep like this. You cannot sleep. You are already on the bed. Why will he talk like that to me? You will pray in tongues. You just let him know that something is there. I just want us to know that the difference between this great man, a man like Abel, was that God could quarantine the seed of sin. You know, when I mean quarantine, we had an incident in my office and, you know, we just noticed that one particular virus was jumping from system to system. So once you notice that it has happened to this system and maybe the attacker is trying to use this system to enter the host thing, you do something called quarantine, meaning you take it off the network. Meaning that you separate it and isolate it. You can no longer talk to the others. So that's what quarantining is like. They quarantine that sin, but you have not destroyed that sin. Just kept it in a place whereby it is docile. But a little slack, that thing will wake up again. And even be more violent than before. But you know, the blessed thing and the beautiful thing about our Lord Jesus Christ, this beautiful resurrection morning, is that in Jesus, this sin is destroyed. As we keep obeying, as we keep walking, as we keep following, you get to that point. Say, for this reason was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy all the works of the devil. No, we are coming to that point. We'll keep obeying, we'll keep journeying, and this seed of sin and iniquity will be destroyed. Can we begin to thank God this morning?
We trust you were made glad and strengthened by the voice of the Son of God from on high. For more inquiries about the ministry and its meetings, call 0702-500-1662 or 0904-285-0714. Stay blessed.